BBC News.
Now, our classic serial and the final adaptation in our season of Walter Scott adaptations, starring David Tennant as Walter Scott.
Now then, we're in a bar in Carlisle. It's the year 2035, and there have been some changes. But not everything changes. People still drink in Carlisle.
Come with me.
I can't. You know I can't. My exams.
Bring your books.
My father.
He'll forgive you. You've done worse.
Danny, I can't. Don't ask.
I'll be lonely without you. You're my only family.
I don't know who your family is.
Exactly. I am alone in the world, except for you.
Two more singers, sir.
Thank you, my darling.
Are these finished?
And here's a little something for you.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Thank you. Come with me, Alan. My new speed is a honey, a babe magnet, real leather seats.
That's not legal.
The weather's going to be beautiful. I thought I might have a look at the borders.
But you're not supposed to go anywhere near the border.
Phooey. Are you scared?
Do you think I want to spend my time caged up? I have no choice. You can go and have adventures. You can be a hero. I'm to be a lawyer.
I'll miss you.
I can't. Let me know how it goes.
I'll really miss you.
I'll miss you too.
Brother.
Alan Fairford and Danny Latimer have been best friends since they were kids, when wee Danny came to live with the Fairfords after his mother died. Now they're growing up. Are they growing apart? They don't want to. But Danny has gone off on a pleasure cruise in his new speeder, and poor Alan is creeping up the stairs of his father's house, hoping to get back to his studies before anyone notices he's been gone.
There you are, Alan.
Father.
I was wondering where you'd got to.
Yes.
Where have you been?
Patterson's.
Nice. Have you forgotten your studies?
No, Father.
That your English law exams are coming on?
No, sir.
And that every moment of your time just now is precious, and you have leisure and money for Patterson.
Just to see Danny on his journey.
You could have said your goodbyes here. It would have saved your share of the bill.
Danny paid.
You sponged off Danny Latimer.
He insisted. He's just had his allowance doubled.
Alan, listen to me. We know nothing about Danny's family.
Neither does he.
Aye. And I wish him well, so he can go off and enjoy the countryside. He is an orphan, and his origins are a mystery to us.
And to him.
But one thing we do know is that he comes into a pile of money on his 25th birthday, and he doesn't need a job. You do. We aren't lucky enough to belong to any rich families, mysterious or otherwise. The law is our vocation. English law.
Yes, Father.
So, you'll come to court tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
You must be properly initiated into the practical side of the business.
Yes, Father.
Alan's father was not always such a sourpuss. Once upon a time, he had a successful practice in Edinburgh. But he had an English wife. And after the independence of 2015, she was active in the campaign of civil disobedience. She became a prominent figure in the anti-independence movement and in the campaign that grew so bitter. And when she died in custody, Alan's father fled south of the border and had to learn English law. And so now does his son, Alan.
Mr. Cousin!
Fairford!
In the Carlisle courts, Alan worries that his father's anxiety makes them both look ridiculous.
This is my son, Alan, destined for the bar.
Oh, yes. Mr. Cousin.
I thought I'd bring him along today, show him how things are done in English courts.
Mm.
What's on today? Contraband, is it?
Yeah, more and more since the border controls got so tight and the police contracted out. Still, it all.
But while Alan stands around like the spare part he truly is, he observes someone watching his father intently. There is something in this person which commands attention.
Good day to you, Fairford.
Aye, good day to you, Mr. Cousin.
Hmm. Father.
What is it, huh?
That gentleman over there. I think he wants to speak to you.
So he does.
Mr. Fairford!
Sir!
It's been a while.
I beg your pardon, I remember your face perfectly, but your name?
Oh, have you forgotten? Galloway? Stuart Galloway.
Of course. I am sorry. I hope you're well, Mr. Galloway.
So well, Mr. Fairford, that I have come to Carlisle to pick up the threads with one or two old friends.
Oh, aye?
And with you, of course.
With me?
You must dine with me today at Patterson's.
I beg your pardon, I have to be at home this evening.
Then I will visit you there.
But...
I only need a few minutes of your time. Would 7 o'clock suit?
By all means.
At 7, then.
Father?
Hmm?
Who was that?
An unlucky gentleman.
He looks all right on it. Nice suit.
Oh, he has means. And I hope he makes good use of them. Though if he does, it will be for the first time.
Is he a crook?
If we mend our own faults, Alan, we shall have enough to do without sitting in judgment on others.
Mm-hmm. There's definitely something about him, though.
He was a leader of the disobedience. Your mother had some dealings with him. He lost everything then. I want nothing to do with him.
Well, then why is he...
We must observe the decencies. So, we'll buy some alcohol on the way home.
Yes, Father.
So Mr. Galloway comes to visit in his posh clothes and makes himself extremely disagreeable.
Father, how could you let him be so rude?
Rude?
When you said grace, he picked his teeth.
Oh.
What's it to him if you carry out your business in England now? Plenty of Scots people do that. After all, not so long ago, our two countries were one. We tolerate our neighbours, why can't he?
Very good, Alan. Very good indeed. I wish they'd heard you in court. You have a talent for forensic elocution. You should try more declamation at home, now and again, to keep yourself in practice.
But
as for your content, it's garbage. I don't give a flying one about Mr. Galloway, what he says or thinks.
Why did he ask after Danny?
That's my business. Where is Danny now?
What?
You know where he is?
Yes, of course. He has gone to the Solway Firth to take a look at Scotland.
But the condition of his allowance forbids him to visit that country.
Yeah, that's why he has to get as close to it as he can. Why is he not supposed to visit Scotland? Father? Is Mr. Galloway something to do with this?
Just give me a link to Danny's page or site.
Nobody uses...
Or whatever you young people have now. I need to drop him a line.
Right, we've got a certain amount of backstory to get through. I'll try to keep it brief, but pay attention. So, as you know, when Scotland gained independence in 2015, after a few years, there was a movement of civil disobedience among some people living there. English people, mostly, but not all. And the authorities reacted badly, and things turned nasty. Alan's mother died at this time, when he was still very young, and he and his father moved south. About that time, Alan's father took in another boy whose mother had died, partly to be company for poor little Alan. Danny Latimer was this boy. And his presence seemed to make Alan cheerful and happy. And as they grew up together in Carlisle, the two young men became close friends. So when Alan now messages Danny, wherever he has gone on his road trip, he is surprised to receive no reply. And later that day, Alan returns from college to find his father's PA hanging about with a big smirk on his face.
James, what is it?
A girl, sir.
What?
Asking for you. A little hottie.
Did this hottie leave a name?
No, but she asked when you would be back, so I said 12 o'clock when your father's at the bank.
I don't know why you thought that was necessary.
Ooh.
It's 12 now.
So it is.
That may be her.
Reckon so.
Show up to my study. I'll just...
Very good, sir.
Alan just has time to fling his graphic novels in a drawer and put a copy of The Brothers Karamazov carelessly face down on the desk.
This way, ma'am.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Enter!
The lady, Alan.
Hi.
Hello.
Is she pretty? Alan cannot quite be sure. These days, the etiquette is to take off one's pollution mask on entering a dwelling. But this she has failed to do. Nor has she removed her Ray-Bans. But she has a very pretty nose.
Won't you sit down?
I'll fetch a chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, James.
Okay.
Thank you, James.
Oh, right.
You're not actually reading The Brothers Karamazov, are you?
But
the spine is unbroken.
Yes.
I was expecting to meet someone.
Yes?
Someone a bit older.
Oh, you mean my father?
Yes, I think so.
But you asked for Alan Fairford?
Yes.
My father is Alexander.
Oh, I see.
But if I could be of any service to you, if my advice or opinion could be of the slightest use...
You have a friend, Danny Latimer?
Yes.
Perhaps you know that he has been warned not to cross the border into Scotland.
Yes.
But he has recently chosen to go close to it. He's in danger there.
What? Why?
I'm sorry. I can't explain any more. But believe me, I mean what I say. Get him back to Carlisle. Please. Persuade him to come back. Or go yourself. Find him and bring him back.
By all means. I'm sure he will come home if I ask. But could you not explain?
No. Thank you.
But please.
Thank you. Please. I can find my own way out.
Yes, but...
And out she goes. Alan stands for a moment like a young twerp. Then it finally crosses his mind that he might follow her and find out who the hell she is. Off he sets, down into the street.
Mr. Alan, what takes you out running daft-like without your mask?
Did you see a lady go down the close?
A lady?
Yes, a lady. Blonde. Sunglasses. Mask. Did you see which way she went?
No.
Right.
Young Faithful's gone daft.
Alan realises, firstly, that he has made a fool of himself, and secondly, that when she disappeared, Mask Girl must have put the sun in her pocket, so suddenly does dullness and darkness sink down upon the smoggy Carlisle streets. Some days go by. Alan wonders how Danny is doing and how much fun he's having, but he still doesn't hear anything, which is odd. And his messages get no reply, which is odder still.
So, Alan.
Father.
Your studies are nearly at an end.
Yes.
And no doubt you think the floor of the courts are carpeted with cash and that you have only to hoover it up.
Not quite.
Correct. Like an apprentice surgeon, you must carve on a cadaver before you are fit to whip off a living arm or a leg.
Nicely put, Dad. So what you're saying is I should take on duff legal aid cases before I start representing the kind of well-heeled gangsters you specialise in?
Not exactly.
But anyway, until I have heard from Danny,
So be ready next Tuesday.
Tuesday?
We have a case for you.
But I have not opened my mouth in court yet.
So?
I would ruin any cause dumped on me like that.
You can't, Alan. It is the case of Peter Peebles.
Peter Peebles?
He appears to be an eccentric gentleman with no means, but with a very complicated case. I thought he was dead, but he's popped up again. A nephew of the Lord Justice John's was to have opened, but as soon as he saw the folders, he panicked and booked a scuba diving holiday in Somerset. Mm. So, I thought I'd chip the ball your way.
Mind your steps, sir.
But I'm worried about Danny. I think I ought to go and...
Here's the man himself.
Mr. Peter Peebles.
Mr. Peebles.
Sir!
My son, Alan.
Alan! Lovely.
Mr. Peebles.
Alan, this is the gentleman who has agreed to accept you as his counsel in place of young Drummond.
Entirely as a favour to my old friend, your father, and my old intimacy with Justice Jones.
Now, Alan, 24 years ago...
25.
25 years ago, Peter Peebles and Paul Plainstains entered into partnership over the border in Edinburgh in what was then the United Kingdom as retailers of what were known as compact discs. Yeah. And the company being later wound up, there came first an action of Peebles versus Plainstains for payment of an alleged debt. There was then a counter-action.
Mr. Fairford, I was so looking forward to meeting your son that I forgot to get anything to eat.
We'll rustle something up.
Thank you so much.
Of course. So, there was a counter-action.
While the case is laid out, food and drink are brought.
And Mr. Peebles' eighth agent recommended a multiple pointing to bring all parties concerned into the field.
A multiple pointing is the safest remedium juris in the whole form of process. This carpaccio is excellent.
Thank you. Shall I help you to the...
Oh, no, no, I can pour. Is this claret Yorkshire?
Swaledale, yeah. 2024.
Very good year. Cheers! You haven't mentioned the arrestments.
I was just coming to that.
Or the action of suspension of the charge on the bill.
I was coming to that.
And then there's the action of assault and battery when I got Plainstains to take a swing at me outside Oodles nightclub. Mind if I smoke?
No.
And so Mr. Peebles proceeds to outline his own case, drinking freely and inhaling deeply on an e-cigarette.
To say whether it were best to proceed by way of petition and complaint or by action of the statute on battery.
Alan, get the wine away from him.
I will carry my case at once, do you see? Oh, Mr. Allen, you are a lucky man to get such a case as mine. It's like a smorgasbord of every quirk of law you could encounter. What we used to call a mixtape. Here's to you getting through. A long, long time ago, I can still remember when that music used to make me smile. That wine has made me quite thirsty. What I need is a quenching ale.
Alan, I'll make a short abbreviate for you.
Thank you, Father.
And I knew that if I had the chance, I could make those people dance and maybe make them happy for a while.
I'll get them a cab. Look over my notes and just get it into your head before Tuesday. Your poor mother would be proud to see her son take his first case.
Yes, Father.
Be a good boy. I'll put a couple of grand in your account for expenses.
Thank you, Father.
So buy wine from American Pie. And Brumashevi to the levee, but the levee was dry. Come on, lads. I'm good old boys drinking whiskey and rye. Oh, that'll be the day that I die.
I apologize for my presumption in addressing the court, and beg your lordships will excuse it.
Even Lord Justice Jones himself is pleased with the modest tone with which Alan begins his first address to court.
My client, Mr. Peebles, is a simple-hearted, well-meaning man, who, during a co-partnership of 12 years, gradually became impoverished, while his partner became more and more wealthy.
Alan's father has slaved to get the principal facts of the case straight. And with this preparation, Alan is able to lay before the court an unprecedentedly clear and intelligible state of Peter Peebles' affairs.
My client has been forced to follow his quondam partner from court to court, has found his just claims met with well-invented but unfounded counterclaims, till the unhappy litigant has lost substance, reputation, and almost the use of reason itself.
Well done, Alan. Let's see what the defence makes of that.
My lad, may I first pay a hearty compliment to my young colleague on his debut here.
Yes.
However, I have to observe that my young friend, whose attention has otherwise been so wonderfully comprehensive, has not fully considered the historic email correspondence between the two parties after the dissolution of their co-partnery. I would therefore ask for an adjournment of a day or two.
Tell him we have the emails.
My lord, we are instantly ready to go through that correspondence. We have copies here.
I'll pass them as you need them.
Very well, if there is no objection.
Oh, none at all.
Alan's father, who sits behind him, hands him the printed emails in the order in which he means to read and comment on them.
I hope to prove to your lordships that this correspondence is in form and substance exactly applicable to our view of the case.
However, as he does so, Alan's father hands across a paper which produces a bizarre effect on the young counsel.
This is not relevant.
Alan's father has mixed in this message by mistake, but Alan reads it nevertheless.
What's the matter?
Forgive me, my lord. I must... Forgive me. I beg the court's pardon.
Alan! Is he ill?
Alan! Alan!
And the father, too? Have they all gone mad? Case adjourned.
And what is in this unrelated message, so fatally mixed into the legal papers, that has caused Alan to do such a spectacular runner? It is a communication to Alan's father from his old friend Regina Crosby. It contains hints to the effect that now Regina's children have finally left home, she is willing to take their relationship up another notch. But it begins with an interesting digression, something which, I am sorry to say, Alan's father had decided to conceal from his son until his case was concluded.
Alex, I should tell you that young Danny Latimer seems to have disappeared. That is, he left his speeder at a hotel near Halstead, went off for a stroll along Hadrian's Wall and never came back. I know he's careless with his possessions, but still, I thought you ought to know.
So Mr. Fairford is not entirely surprised to receive, soon afterwards, a message telling him that his son is on his way to the Housesteads to search for his missing friend, and meaning, first of all, to visit Regina Crosby.
Mrs. Crosby.
Alan!
haven't seen you since you were doing your eye bags, or whatever they call them now. But you did awfully well, didn't you? Oh, how lovely of you to come and see me. Drink?
I'm looking for my friend, Danny Latimer.
Danny, yes. Good-looking boy. Is he enjoying his travels?
I don't know. You told my father that Danny has disappeared.
I don't know about disappeared. He dumped his new toy and went off walking, I think. But you know what he's like. Finding himself, I expect. Hasn't he turned up yet?
No. I want to know what's happened to him.
Oh, I'm sure nothing's happened. Oh, I hope you've got time to have lunch with me before you go rushing off.
Maybe I should phone the police.
Oh, don't be silly. He's bound to turn up, if he hasn't already.
Do you know a Mr. Galloway?
I know several. Charles Galloway. Poor old Graham Galloway.
Mr. Stuart Galloway.
Stuart Galloway, of course, Alan. Of course I know him. He worked with your mother.
My father never talks about that.
He was part of the leadership. Since his disobedience, he's been a wanted man in Scotland, but he has many friends in the Borders. The networks are still active, Alan. You wouldn't want to get mixed up with all that.
I just want to find Danny and to know that he's safe. I think Mr. Stuart Galloway has something to do with his disappearance. I met Mr. Galloway recently.
Did you? And what did you think?
I thought he was a bit weird.
Oh, I'm sure he'd never do anything to harm your Danny, even if he suspected him of being some sort of spy.
Well, why would he do that?
Stranger things have happened.
I think I will go to the police
now. No, don't do that. Let me think. Yes. We'll have lunch with Rolla.
Well, who's he?
Rolla Hopkins.
Rolla?
Funny name, isn't it? Well, I expect he'll tell you the story himself. He usually does, when he's had a bit of a smoke.
Yeah. So, this is during the disobedience, of course.
Yes.
Your mother, God bless her, she was an inspiration. It was her hunger strike that kicked things off. But I wanted to tell you about that.
My father never really...
We wanted reunification, yes. But we only wanted to use peaceful means. Independence wasn't working. Anyone could see that. And there was plenty wanted what we wanted. Put the two countries back together again. But they weren't allowed to speak. So instead of words, there had to be deeds. So then there was the wild time. We had a dream. But then we had to wake up. It was the old story. If you win, you're a freedom fighter. And if you lose, you're a terrorist. And we lost.
Yes.
So there I am, on the back of a transport, on my way to life imprisonment. And I'm sitting next to Harry Galloway.
Harry Galloway?
He was our leader. You wouldn't know about that. The movement was well organised. He didn't advertise, but he was Red Gauntlet. The leader. Red Gauntlet, we called him. His real name was Harry Galloway, but in the anti-independence movement, he was Red Gauntlet.
So hang on, who is Stuart Galloway?
His little brother.
Not so little.
So there I am, sitting next to Harry, slung on the back of this old flatbed. It's pissing down, but who cares? And we're handcuffed together. So whenever Harry lifts a hand to wipe a tear, up goes my hand with his. You sure you don't want some of this? It's homegrown.
No, thank you.
Poor Harry. He had a wife and kids to think about, unlike his brother. And he was a big-hearted man, unlike his brother. I felt sorry for him. He was married to a Scots woman, and she had a pile of money. And people said he was soft. But when it was all up, and the bastards came for us, he stayed, faced the music, when those cowards ran. So there we are, bumping along on this transport. And all the time I've been trying to slip my hand out of the cuff. Because actually I have amazingly thin wrists, see?
Yes.
And eventually, I got it out. But poor Harry was so deep in his thoughts, he didn't catch on, and I couldn't tell him.
Why not?
Because there was a trigger-happy bastard from the Scottish Security Services sitting opposite me. And if he'd caught on, I'd have had an old-school slug in my guts.
So what did he do?
Well, I knew the Moors were driving over. So I waited until we were on the edge of Erickston Bray. Do you know it?
No.
It looks as if four big hills have put their heads together for a little chat. And there's a deep black hollow space between. A bloody great drop that goes straight down the road, way down to a stream in a little valley. And so when we came to the edge of it, I slipped my hand from the cuff and I gave the thug a kick in the nuts and shouted to Harry, "Follow me!" And I jumped off the truck and down the drop. I fell and I rolled and rolled and I was halfway down before they could get to the guns. Flash, flash, flash. Zip, zip, zip. Bits of the fatherland disintegrating all around me. But I got to the bottom and up I jumped with all that hills spinning round. But off I set and never stopped, off into the mist. And they never found me.
And is that how...
That got me the name of Roller.
I hope you may never have to do anything like that again.
I'm not likely to get the chance, am I? Am I?
What happened to your friend?
Harry. Poor Harry. He didn't know the ground. He went uphill instead of down. So they got him easily.
They caught him?
They shot him. Shot him dead. Red Gauntlet. Not forgotten. Not forgiven. They think we're dead and buried.
And Harry Galloway left children?
A son. And a daughter. And a younger brother. The brother is Red Gauntlet now. Stuart.
I see. So Stuart Galloway is the leader of the movement?
There is no movement anymore, of course. Officially.
Ruler, we need to ask you something.
Yeah?
A friend of mine has disappeared.
So?
I think Stuart Galloway, a Red Gauntlet, I think he has something to do with it.
Sorry. Misunderstanding. I knew Harry. I don't know his brother. Nothing to do with him. He's a wanted man north of the border, like me. I'm not going to dub him in, am I?
I don't want to make any trouble for him. I just want to find my friend, Danny Latimer. Then I can go home quietly without any fuss. Or call the police.
You should drop this.
No.
Reggie, tell him to drop it. It's no good.
He won't.
Won't he?
I won't.
No. Maybe you won't at that. You're not a bad lad. Okay. I can find your Red Gauntlet. I'll give you a message to send to him. Ask him to help you, if he feels like it. Reggie, I need a computer with a USB port. Have you got one?
Nobody uses those anymore.
I know, that's the point. Have you got one?
In the office. Oh, Alan, you're a sweet boy.
You're very kind. Thank you for helping me.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Can I trust him?
Oh, of course you can, darling, no doubt. Only, if I were you, if you can, I'd take a look at the message before you deliver it.
Oh, why should I need to do that? I have to trust him, don't I?
Yes. I suppose you do.
You see this?
Yes.
Do you know what it is?
No.
It's a pen drive. Once upon a time, everyone used these. There's a message for Red Gauntlet on this. He'll know how to open it. I've asked him to make sure your friend is safe. Free to go. That is, in case he isn't already.
But how am I to deliver it?
Nancy Ewart. Nancy will take you.
Take me where?
Over the border. I like you. It's a shame.
What is?
But I can't go with you.
Alan is given a time and place to meet Nancy Ewart. The time is early in the morning, and the place is a lay-by on the B6318, just south of Penton. A little solar-powered transport is climbing slowly out of the valley.
Alan!
Yes?
I thought so. You have a look of your mum. Hop in.
Where are we going?
I'm to take you to Red Gauntlet, yes?
Yes, please. I'm looking for my friend, Danny.
Whatever. Do you want a drink?
It's a bit early.
Please yourself.
But where are we actually going?
North, over the border.
I haven't got my passport.
I sort of hope you won't need it.
Why not?
Because this van is full of weed.
Weed?
Aye. Dope, skunk, Tiny Tim's tobacco. top quality.
You're taking it across the border.
Ah, you got it.
But dope is legal in Scotland now.
Ah, that it is.
But it's not legal in England.
That it isn't.
Also, why...
Legal Scottish dope, grown by robots, sold from behind the counter at the supermarket. What's it like?
I haven't ever...
Why, would you? I prefer booze, but hey, I'll tell you. It's overpriced and underpowered. Full of crap, weak as piss. Now then, homegrown English dope, lovingly produced by hand, rolled on the thighs of Northumberland virgins, practically organic, twice the strength and half the price. I buy it here from selected small-scale suppliers, I nip over the border, and there's a ready-made retail system just crying out for decent product. What I buy for 20 reels in Gateshead, I can sell in Peebles for 450 Scotch pounds, even with the exchange rate. Now, you do the maths, eh? You sure you don't want a drink?
I don't feel like it at the moment.
You look a bit peaky. You all right?
I might try to sleep.
Okay. It'll be a while on the back roads before we get to the border. Here, have me jacket as a pillar.
Thank you.
You take it easy. You're just a lad.
Thank you.
Alan dozes as the van creeps into the forest and through a maze of muddy byways. When he wakes again, it's stopped. Which does not come as a surprise to Alan, as the vodka bottle lying on the seat beside him is empty. But a real surprise is, there is a full one next to it.
Better out than in. How are you doing?
Okay.
You look like shite.
I feel a bit hot.
You're going down with summer. You should have a drink. Here, come on.
No, I won't. Thanks. Is there any water?
Water? Not necessarily. Have a look in that door there. I was stopping here under the trees for a little while.
Why?
Flies buzzing around us. What does Bertrand Russell say? A man goes through life with a cloud of comforting convictions. They follow him like flies on a summer day. I've shaken off mine.
I'm sorry?
The sheriff's on our trail.
I don't get it.
There's a police drone up there. It comes cruising about now and then.
Oh, I see.
They never stay long, the lazy sods. We'll just sit it out. Tell each other our life stories, eh?
Right.
Come on, have a drink.
No, I'm fine. Are you...
What?
Are you all right to drive?
Now, that's very politely put. I thank you for your delicacy. It's true, I drink. But the funny thing is, I don't get drunk. Not really. Not anymore. It's the Red Queen effect. I just run like the clappers to stay in the same place.
And you don't smoke?
What, the merchandise?
Yes.
Christ, no. I can't bear it. The smell makes us howk.
Oh, then how...
Did I become a drug smuggler?
Yes.
Ah, well, I wasn't always a bad boy. Once upon a time, I was a student at Edinburgh University. A student of philosophy. I met this girl there. Hang on, this story always sticks in my throat. I'll have to wash it down. This is in 16. Jess. Jess Cantrips. Oh, lovely lass. Younger than me. Lovely girl. We're in a part of town that's true blue. English go home. When the riots kick off, I have to get out. I want to take Jess with us, but her mother's ailing. She doesn't want to leave. So I say, when the fuss has died down, I'll be back. And off I went. 6 months later, I get a note. Sorry to tell you that Jess is dead.
Dead?
Aye. Eclampsia. I'd got a pregnancy and... Word got out she's carrying an English bastard. Spitting in the street, back of the queue at the doctor's. You know, don't bother us, Sassenach Shagger. She didn't get proper treatment. Her mother died and the bastard of a landlord put her out in the street. Then it was too late. Yeah, I'd love to get my hands on him one fine day. Peter, his name was. Peter, his name's on the tip of my tongue.
What did you do?
Well, I went a bit raj, a bit crazy. I went back up to Edinburgh, had this idea I could search for her, find her, you know, that I might see her in any street corner. Got some funny looks in the Royal Mile. I was talking to myself, pulling faces, and people were laughing. So when they laughed, I clenched my fists and I put my head down and I ran at them, scattered them. Ran through the town like that, you know. They're shouting out, "Stop him! Stop the mad Geordie bastard!"
What happened?
Well, I don't really remember all of it. End of it, I joined the army. Yeah. Fought in Saudi, Oman. Got a bit of shrapnel up the arse in Bahrain. It's a dump nut worth fighting over. Then I got some private work.
Security?
No, mercenary.
I see. And was that lucrative?
It wasn't till I ended up in jail. I was looking to get out of that. But I did, and here I am. All right, and I've got my best friend. And he's doing his best for us, after all.
What's that?
He's killing us. It's just a pity he's taking so long. Right, sounds like the dark dove with the flickering tongue has passed beyond the horizon of his homing. Let's get a shifty on.
How will I meet him?
Who?
Red Gauntlet.
I've got a shipment for him.
Dope.
No, not dope. Police and thieves on the street scaring the nation with their guns and ammunition. Don't thank me yet, but I think we're over the border. I'll tell you, Alan, what I've got for him, so you can't pretend you don't know what's going on. Assault phases, okay? Biggins. Blow a hole in the wall, these.
I don't know what's going on.
If it wasn't for the money, I'd have nothing to do with this lot. They're pissing up the rank tray. Ones that should know better getting young lads like you into trouble.
I really don't know what's going on.
You have it your own way. You're not looking well.
I don't feel well.
Oh, you're burning up, son.
And then Nanty makes a preliminary rendezvous with his connection north of the border. Things are not going according to plan.
Nanty!
Charlie, yeah? What's the fuss, man?
The police is crawling with axe. I think someone's tipped someone off. Get out of here.
Where to?
The hotel. Who the hell's that?
Passenger.
Pished?
No, he's a bad fettle. He's got the new flu, I reckon.
Dump him. The cops will find him.
If they don't, he'll die.
If it's the new flu, he'll die anyway. If we don't get moving, they'll find us too.
Oh, poor lad. He's as thick as a brick, but I like him. He's too young to be knocked off his perch for this nonsense.
Nanty!
I'll deal with him.
Please yourself.
I'm cold.
You sit quiet. You're not well.
Where are you going?
To a friend I know. We'll check you in and call for a doctor.
Looking for Danny. He's been kidnapped.
Just sit quiet, lad.
He's my friend. Why would they kidnap him?
We'll get you some antivirals.
Oh, I'm so cold.
No, I know.
Alan, where have you been? Out without your face mask?
Sorry?
You know you must not cross the border.
Show me your face. I think you're pretty, but I can't be sure.
You're not actually reading the Brothers Karamazov, are you? The spine is unbroken.
Your best bet is the multiple pointing. Multiple pointing. Multiple pointing. What's it all mean?
Police and thieves on the street. Oh, yeah.
Have you forgotten that your cannabis exams are coming on?
Young Fairford's getting duffed.
You must not cross the border.
But I'm looking for my friend. I know he is in danger.
Saving the nation with their guns and ammunition.
Take your mask off. Take those ridiculous sunglasses off.
Alan.
I want to see your face.
Alan. Alan!
When Alan comes to himself at last, he finds himself in a little bedroom under the eaves. And bending over him with an expression of tender concern is a good-looking young lady who reminds him of someone.
Drink this.
Face mask?
I beg your pardon?
Oh, I thought... Thank you. Where am I? How did I get here?
Nanty brought you. You're feeling better.
Who are you? I know you.
We have met.
You are Face Mask Girl. You came to see me. You warned me.
Yes.
What are you doing here?
It's better if you don't know.
You knew that Danny was in danger. You knew. What's happened to him?
He is here.
Here? Where? Can I see him?
Not just now. It's better not.
Why not?
It'll all be over one way or another. Very soon.
What will?
Better if you don't know.
Who are you?
Trust me.
No offence, but Why the hell should I? Danny's here.
Yeah.
Is he all right?
Yes. I've always wanted to get to know him. And now I have.
Good.
I like him very much.
Well, so do I.
I thought, because he knew about the money, that he was going to be so rich. I thought it might have made him into a dreadful brat, but the money doesn't seem to have spoiled him.
He has his moments.
He's kind and generous. Mm. I think he loves me already.
Does he?
Yeah.
Bully for him.
And I love him too.
Okay, that's absolutely marvellous. I'm sure I'm very happy for
Alan,
you both.
Alan, you're not well enough to get up yet.
If you say so.
I want you to stay in bed. Promise me you won't get up. Not for today, at least. Now keep the pen drive. Stay in bed. And tomorrow it'll be all right.
I promise. Scout's honour.
Thank you.
And out she goes. Then it finally crosses his mind that he might follow her. Off he sets, down into the street. The hotel sits on a roundabout on the old A7 just south of Selkirk. It's a fairly anonymous sort of place, with a big transport park off to one side screened by trees, just the place for a drug swap or a delivery of assault phasers, and indeed, in one corner sits Nanty's wee van. But today, the transport park is unusually busy. A number of large, expensive speeders with smoked glass screens are clustered together, and a gang of chauffeurs stand around, looking unusually bulky and hard, even for Selkirk. The bar, too, is busy. What's going on? Is this the beginning of an attempted coup? And who is this odd-looking figure knocking back the saws?
Where you going, man?
Vodka. 1,000 thank yous, kind sir.
Cheers. The name's Nanty. Nanty Hewitt.
You're very good health. Peter is mine. Eternally grateful for this fine pick-me-up.
Oh, plenty more where that come from. Drink open. Tell us what brings you here.
Seeking a young English idiot.
Oh, plenty of them to be found.
A lawyer.
An English lawyer, eh?
Yes.
What would such a person be doing north of the border?
He played me a slippery little trick, the slimy snake. He ran off in the middle of my case, just when it was going so well. No excuse, no apology. I had word he's come north. Oh, the Scots police have been very helpful. They've issued a warrant for his arrest.
Have they now?
Alan Fairford is his name.
Alan Fairford?
Cheating English bastard. Said he'd represent me, then left my case for dead.
He's a friend of mine. He's not well.
Oh, no offence, no offence. Well, I'm sorry to hear it, but he needs to get himself better and come back to Carlisle and finish what he started.
And what did you say your name was again?
Peter.
Yes?
Peter Peebles of Plainstains.
Peebles?
Yeah.
Peebles. Did you ever have property in Edinburgh, in the old town?
Did I?
In Covenant Close?
Oh, yeah, that's it.
And do you remember a poor old lady, Mrs. Cantrips?
Yes.
The old lady died.
Yes. Did she?
And her daughter. You remember her daughter? The pregnant bitch that died. You look like you've fallen on hard times now.
A bit. Another drink.
Oh, hey. Help yourself. So, now that you're in the gutter, are you not sorry for what you did?
Did what?
To that poor girl.
Excuse me?
Jess. Jess Cantrips.
Oh, her.
I used to dream of meeting you, Peter.
Eh?
I thought you'd be more of a man, not such a pathetic specimen. I'd give a lot to make you worth it.
Worth what?
Worth killing.
What?
Maybe I'll do it anyway.
Are you threatening me?
Oh, I'm just deciding whether you're worth the trouble.
I'm calling the police.
I wouldn't do that. That'd be a mistake.
Give me back my phone. Oh, what'd you do that for? That's assault.
Oh,
for a witness.
Sorry.
What are you doing?
I am going to kill you.
What? Oh, shit. You're mad.
Come here. Come here, big kid.
Help. Help.
Come back, you last.
Alan misses all this because at the bottom of the hotel stairs, instead of going towards the bar, he heads for the door to the transport park. Why does he do this? Because through the door, he has just seen another of these big, smooth, smoked glass speeders pull up. And who's that climbing out of it? But Mr. Stuart Galloway. a.k.a. Red Gauntlet.
Mr. Galloway! Eh? Mr. Galloway!
What?
Mr. Galloway!
What do you want?
Where is Danny Latimer?
Do I know you?
We have met.
I don't think so.
You came to see my father, Alexander Fairford.
No.
You did! I've got a pen drive for you. From Rola.
Sorry, sir. Do you want me to...
That's all right, Nixon. I'll deal with this.
Sir?
Hand it over, then.
Oh, right. Here.
From Rola?
Yes.
And you are again?
Alan. Alan Fairford.
Let's have a listen, shall we?
The boy who brings you this is called Alan Fairford. He's an awkward, persistent little tyke. And he needs keeping out of their way until our business is over. Good luck till then.
But...
Oh, dear.
Nixon, sir, take him.
Come here.
Help! Help!
Stand still while I strangle you.
Help, help me, he's mad.
You, for God's sake, you, what are you doing?
Beg your pardon, just gonna kill this little son of a bitch here.
He's mad, don't let him kill me.
You, are you drunk?
All right, maybe I won't kill him just for now.
Oh, thank you, sir, thank you. Don't let him, please.
Ewart, I need to explain that this is not the time or place to draw attention to yourself.
All right, I'm sorry.
Oh, you are drunk.
No more than usual.
Sir, that man there, I've been looking for him.
What?
Alan Fairford, lawyer. He abandoned my case, ran off in the middle of proceedings. There's a warrant out for his arrest.
Oh, is there now?
Yeah. Let me go.
Dear me, Mr. Fairford. Apparently you're wanted by the police. We can't let you go.
This is nonsense. I've done nothing wrong.
We'd better hold on to you until the constabulary arrive.
You've got Danny, haven't you?
Danny's fine. I might let you see him if just for one moment, just for a second, you would just shut up and stop making trouble.
Hey, let the man see his friend.
Oh, give me strength. Is everyone insane today? Ewart, keep out of this. It's none of your business.
Hey, I've had enough of you and your pointless bloody fuss. I'll make it my business.
Oh, will you?
Aye. Red Gauntlet goes for Nancy Ewart. He's fast, he's much the bigger man, and he's stone-cold sober. A moment later, Nanty Ewart is lying on his back on the tarmac.
I could have Nixon finish you off. You understand me, you drunken lout? We have the shipment, you have your money. Get up and get lost.
Yeah, keep your filthy money.
I demand to see my friend.
Nixon, just lock him in the cellar. Keep him quiet. We haven't got the time.
Okay, boss.
Get your hands off me.
The man says shut up. So shut up.
Alan is dragged inside, pushed into a cellar and locked in.
Let me out! Let me out!
The door is heavy and the walls are thick.
Hello? Hello? Someone? Anyone? Hello? Please? This is intolerable.
Suddenly, the door is unlocked. And who should come in but lovely Miss Feastmask?
You!
Me.
Ah, oh, thank you.
What for?
Letting me out.
I'm not letting you out.
What?
I've come down to shut you up.
What?
Be quiet. You need to be quiet.
I don't understand. I don't understand what's going on.
I know. It's lucky for you. If you showed more signs of understanding, I think you'd probably be much worse off.
So what is?
What is what?
Going on.
What did I just say? You're only alive because you don't know. Do you really want me to tell you? So just stay quiet. In a while, they'll all be gone. With a bit of luck, they'll forget all about you. Then you can come out.
Is Danny all right?
He's okay. He's cool. But isn't he handsome? I really love him. He's being wonderful.
Oh, good.
So just stay quiet, okay? I'll be back in a while.
No.
What?
I want to know what's going on. Tell me.
All right, if you insist. Well, hold on a minute.
What is your command, mistress?
Show me Danny Latimer material.
Yes, mistress. In any particular order?
Latest first.
Yes, mistress.
Now is the time!
That's Danny. What's he doing, holding a phaser?
Our leader died. Our leader's son lives on. He is raising the flag. Now is the time!
Why have they got all these pictures of Danny?
Stop playback.
What is he doing?
Pin up for the revolution. He's Red Gauntlet's son. He's the figurehead for the Rising.
Danny is the son of...
Harry Galloway. Red Gauntlet.
But I thought the other one was Red Gauntlet, the brother.
Stuart? He sort of is. He took it on after Harry's death. But no one likes him, and he's no oil painting, is he? So he knew he needed a figurehead. He's not stupid. He needed his brother's son.
Hang on. Let me get this straight. Danny is the son of Harry Red Gauntlet.
Yes.
And he's been abducted by his uncle, also called Red Gauntlet.
Yes.
So that he can be the figurehead for a new anti-independence movement.
Got it.
But Danny would never go along with that. He wouldn't have anything to do with armed insurrection.
Then why are there photographs of him all over the internet, wearing combat fatigues in front of the movement's flag?
They've been manipulated.
Clever you. So they have.
Aha! So here you are, young Mr. Fairford.
Mr. Peebles!
I have you at last. Nothing to say for yourself. No wonder caught canoodling when you should be in Carlisle pleading my case.
Oh, for God's sake.
So come on home now, your father will be worried about you. Come with me, we can have a good talk about my case.
You must be joking. What's that?
Someone's shooting.
Bloody fools.
A change has come over Mr. Peter Peebles. His hangdog look has gone.
I told him!
A new, rather fierce and forbidding Peter Peebles turns on his heel and runs out of the basement and up into the transport. Curiosity compels Alan and Lily to follow him.
Hold your fire! Hold your fire! This is an order! Hold your fire! My operatives will deactivate their weapons and withdraw.
I represented him in court. Peter Peebles, he's a drunken idiot.
He clearly isn't.
I'm Detective Inspector McAndrew of the Internal Security Service of Scotland.
See?
I don't get it.
Red Gauntlet! Mr. Galloway! My men will not fire. We need to talk. Please.
Talk, then.
We do not want to use force. My men have their weapons set to stun.
Why?
That's no point shedding blood. You're outnumbered and surrounded.
You're bluffing.
There's a full robotics brigade behind that hill. I can whistle it up if you like.
We won't go quietly.
You don't need to go at all. Listen. This is how the Scottish government wishes to view your actions. There was a gathering of old gentlemen, perhaps to drink and talk over old revolutionary times, and my organization was alerted to the possibility that such a gathering might be misconstrued. So I was sent to monitor proceedings. But there was to be no publicity, and I was counseled to make no arrests, so long as every member of this harmless reunion returned quietly to their own homes.
No arrests?
You have enough martyrs to your cause.
You'd let us go, just like that?
Do you not see? Your cause is lost. The democratic process cannot be turned back, not now. In this part of the world, it's too late. It won't wash. There was a vote, and you lost. And everything since then has been sound and fury. We're not afraid of you. We're not even worried.
Old gentlemen, are we?
You'll take your weapons, but you can keep your dignity. Your cause is lost, sir.
My nephew, Danny Latimer, he had nothing to do with this.
I don't know.
Thank heavens for that. I don't think Danny would ever have gone along with it anyway. It saved him a bit of embarrassment.
Lily, I just want to say that...
Look! There he is. Danny!
Where?
Getting out of that transport. Danny! Danny!
Mr. Ewart.
Aye?
I owe you an apology.
What for?
The identity I borrowed, Peter Peebles. I didn't realise it had some significance for you.
I could have killed you, man.
I wish to apologise.
Accepted.
I tell you what.
What?
You can buy us a drink.
Danny!
He's seen us.
Danny!
Darling Lily!
Oh, darling boy!
Hello, Alan.
Hi.
Lily, we don't really know each other, do we?
I feel like we do.
Separated at birth, pretty much. I was sent to live with you, Alan, to keep me out of trouble, you see.
And Uncle took me in, do you see?
No.
I always knew we'd meet up sooner or later. I knew I had a brother.
A brother? You mean a real brother?
Yeah.
Dear Danny. Yeah?
Danny is your brother.
Didn't you know that? Didn't I say?
No. No, you didn't.
So, there we are. Alan's dear friend at last safe and sound, and having hooked up along the way with a very pretty, long-lost younger sister Lily into the bargain. And Lily will marry Alan Fairford, barrister at law. And the detective inspector will get promotion. And poor old Red Gauntlet will go off to a quiet retirement in a maisonette on the Spanish Steps. And Nanty Ewart will give up smuggling and drinking and take up, beekeeping? And all will live happily ever after. English and Scots together, like they always have, and always will, eh?
In Red Gauntlet, Alan was played by Jacob Fortune Lloyd, Alexander by Clive Russell, Red Gauntlet by Forbes Masson, Lily by Olivia Morgan, Nanty and Cousin by Simon Greenall, Peter Peebles, Christian Rodska, Roller and Findlay by Robert Hudson, Danny, James and Nixon, Paul Reddy, and Regina and the computer voice, Alison McKenzie, with David Tennant as Walter Scott. The music was composed and performed by Ross Hughes and Esben Chava. Red Gauntlet was adapted by Robin Brooks, produced and directed by Clive Brill, and was a Brill production for BBC Radio 4.
Verandas where the pages of the sea are a book left open by an absent master in the middle of another life.
The poet Derek Walcott talks about his work and his enduring love of home.
I didn't want to leave the Caribbean. I knew I'd be knocked out by the beauty of where I went, and I didn't want that to interfere with affection or devotion to home.
Derek Walcott, A Fortunate Traveller, today at 4:30 on BBC Radio 4.